We left off the previous year. We just started the new sugya, so let's try to recap a little bit. We began to discuss what is the shear, what is the minimum size for the width and the length of a sukkah. So we said that that machlokas is not a technical machlokas in terms of shiurim, but rather it's a fundamental machlokas as to how we view a sukkah. Is a sukkah diras keva, or is a sukkah diras arai? Is a sukkah supposed to mimic one's house, teshva kein taduru? Or is the sukkah supposed to be something that temporary shivas yamim, superstation shivas yamim, implying that more than 7 days, not really. So we had one extreme view, that was the view of Rabbi Dan Nossi. Rabbi Dan Nossi was of the opinion that sukkah is mamash adiris keva, and it has to literally mimic a house. And just as by a house, in terms of achos mezuzah, and achos mak, and other areas of halacha, the shear is dalat amas by dalat amas, 4 amas, wide 4 amas long, so too a sukkah has to be that minimum as well. And we said that we don't accept that view. We follow the view of the Chacham, everybody else, who says, no, that a sukkah is a diras aroi, and therefore there's no need for it to be da'an amas with da'an amas. The question is, if there's no need for it to be da'an amas with da'an amas, just to how big does it have to be? So we said, well, 6 tvachim, 1 amas by 1 amas, because that's the size that it takes to fit a person in. That was what we thought the halacha should be, and that's in fact what Beis Hillel's view was, until Beis Shammai came along. Beis Shammai said, no, you need a 7th tefach. It has to be 7 tvachim by 7 tvachim. And it was that 7th tefach of Beis Shammai that was the mysterious tefach. We couldn't put our fingers on where that tefach comes from. And to make matters even more serious for us, we happened to pass like Beis Shammai, which is one of the very few cases where we followed Beis Shammai against Beis Hillel. So it really requires of us to understand what Beis Shammai was talking about. What was the need of that 7th tefach? What was the nekudas of machlokas? What was the point of contention between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, the requirement of that 7th tefach? So that was the background. So now we can look at the sugya inside a little bit. So we go to the first of the Rambam Kamos. So the sugya begins in Sukkot of Gimel and Aleph. Amr Shmuel bar Yitzchak, halacha tzricha shtei machzeches rosho v'ruba b'shulchano. That a sukkah has to be big enough to hold a person's head, a person's most of his body, and his table. Now, obviously not a very, very big table, a very, very small table, but already within the words of Rosh Shmuel bar Yitzchak, we're beginning to get a sense of where the 7th tefach came from. That Rosh Shmuel bar Yitzchak tells us that the halacha is that a sukkah has to be able to hold a person's body, his head, his body, and his shulchan. And the Gemara says a little bit later on, that is 7 tvachim. That mysterious 7th tefach is to support a shulchan, not a very big table, a little tray, a little small area to be able to lean, put his food on. That is the need for the 7th tefach. So we seem to have solved our mystery. Well, not at all, because we have no idea why is that so important. Why is it so critical that a person has that table in the sukkah? I can munch my sandwich without putting that on the table. So why is it that the halacha requires that extra tefach for the shulchan? So before the Gemara gets to that, the Gemara just wants to make sure that that is in fact the truth. Shmuel bar Yitzchak just paskin the halacha like that. So Amle Rabbi Abba. So Rabbi Abba said to him, Kiman, who are you following? Ki Beis Shammai. That statement is in sync with Beis Shammai. Now, we haven't even seen what Beis Shammai said, but Rabbi Abba apparently has. So Rabbi Abba said to Rabbi Shmuel, he said to him, what you are saying, is that following Beis Shammai's view? So Amle, he responded, Ala Kiman. A question with a question. He said, who else do you think? Of course I'm following Beis Shammai. There are those who say that the conversation between Rabbi Abba and Rosh Shmuel went slightly different. It's not going to make much of a difference, the halacha, but the nuance went a little bit different. So, Rabbi Abba posed a question to Rabbi Shmuel, and he said to him, who are you following? He wasn't asking him, are you following Bishamah? But he just asked him, you know, curious, who are you following? So, Amalek, so he responded to Bishamah, for lo tozos bina. He said, it's the view of Beis Shammai, and don't leave it. Don't walk away from that view. Namely, accept that view, la halacha. So whether you read the story, the first way, the second way, the end of the way, ends up the same place. That halacha l'mais, we follow Beis Shammai. But now the Gemara is going to question, well, who was Beis Shammai? What did Beis Shammai say? There's some kind of a phantom machlekes here between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. We haven't even yet seen. What are they talking about? So maskil of Nachama Yitzchak. Mimai de Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel besukah ketana pligi. Dilma, how do you know that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel were arguing about a small sukkah? Maybe they were arguing about a big sukkah. What would that mean? Rondi Yosef Apuma de Matulta for Shulchan Aruch Sukkah Bayis. Maybe they're arguing about a case where a person is sitting on the edge of the sukkah and his table is in the house. The Beis Shammai Savri Gazrin and Shem Yim Shekha Shulchan. Beis Shammai were concerned you may come to end up leaning after your table, eating in the house. Well, Beis Hillel savir lo gazir. Beis Hillel said, nah. What in the world is he going to talk about? Where, what, who, where's Beis Shammai? What's going on? So we need a little bit more of a background to appreciate where the Gemara is coming from. There is a Mishnah later on in the second paragraph of the second Sukkah that tells us the following, reports us the following machlokes. There was a dispute between Mishnah and Beis Hillel about an individual who was sitting besoch sukkasa. He's sitting in the sukkah. V'shulchano besoch habayis. His table is in the house, or his table's outside the sukkah, doesn't matter where it is. His table is not in the sukkah per se. Is there anything wrong with that scenario? So Beis Hillel will say, what's wrong with that scenario? What could possibly be wrong? You're sitting in the sukkah. What do I care? Machpati, where your table is. And Meshami says, no, that's no good. If you have your table outside the sukkah, that's a problem. So then the Mishnah tells a fascinating story how the Tanoim actually went to visit one of the senior Rabbanim, Rabbi Yochanan Charani, and they checked up on him, how he was sitting in the sukkah, and lo and behold, he was sitting in the sukkah in such a way, he had apparently, he was sitting dafka in this way, where he was sitting in the sukkah with his table outside the sukkah, and the Beis Hillel says to Beis Shammai, aha, you see that we're right. Here, Yochanan Charani, hey, look at the Gadol HaDor, is sitting in such a sukkah, we must be right. To which Beis Shammai said, and B'mechilas covered B'yochanan Charani, he was never yotzei mitzvah sukkah. That's what he was doing, so he wasn't yotzei mitzvah sukkah. And the Mishnah comes down with a dramatic end. So we're going to hopefully go back to this a little bit later on the sukkah. Yeah, what in the world was going on? What was the meaning of the story? A lot of pieces of the puzzle that are missing in the story. But we're not up to that yet. We just want to extract one point, one small point. All we have documented from Beis Shammai Beis Hillel is if a fellow was sitting in the sukkah and his table's outside the sukkah, is he yaitze or is he not yaitze? That's it. That's the entire machlokes. So comes the Gemara here and says, you can understand that machlokes in one of two ways. Either you can understand that why is the fellow sitting with his table outside the sukkah? Because there's no room for the table in the sukkah. So if that's the machlokes b'shav Beis Hillel, then they are in effect arguing about the shear of a sukkah. When Beis Hillel say that, it's okay, you don't need your table in the sukkah. What they're really saying is, you don't even need a sukkah big enough to have a table in the sukkah. Namely, six tvachim is good enough. When Beis Shammai says, no, chashuv, you need a table in the sukkah, what Beis Shammai are really saying is that you need a sukkah big enough to put that table in there. You need that seventh tefach. So it's quite possible that the machlokes for Beis Shammai Beis Hillel was not really about a table, not really about the, it was really about the size of a sukkah. That's the bottom line. Beis Shammai says seven tvachim. Beis Hillel says sixth tefachim. Why do you need that seventh tefach? Yes, it's true. Beis Shammai said it had something to do with the table. But the machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel was not about a guy who's sitting in a tremendous sukkah. He just happens to be sitting at the corner and his table is outside. That wasn't the dispute. They weren't even talking about that. They were talking about a very, very small sukkah where it's impossible to put that table in, i.e. is the sheer sukkah six or seven. So that's what the Gemara calls a sukkah ketana. If that's the point of contention between Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, so they're arguing about a sukkah ketana, they're arguing about the size of a sukkah. But then the Gemara has a whole nother approach as to what they're arguing about. Maybe they're arguing about a sukkah gedola. A sukkah gedola would mean the sukkah is way big enough. The sukkah is 100 feet by 100 feet. But you chose to sit at the very edge of the sukkah. So Beis Hillel says, what's the problem? As long as you're in the sukkah, what do I care where your table is? And Beis Shammai says, no. If your table's outside the sukkah, there's some kind of a problem. What could the problem possibly be? Here, it's not a deficiency in the shear of the sukkah. The sukkah is way big enough. Here, it must be a gezeira midrabanan. We're afraid that if we let you sit at the edge of the sukkah, next thing you know is you're going to lean out of the sukkah. You're going to end up eating your meal outside the sukkah. So that's a totally different issue. That's, should we make such a gezeira? What's called gezeira shem yibshech achashulchanai? Are we really afraid that you may come to lean out of the sukkah or not? Beis Shammai says, we're very, very worried. And Beis Hillel says, we're not so worried. So it comes out that there's a double, potential double machlekes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. There's a machlekes, what we call a sukkah ketana, about the shear of a sukkah. Then there's a machlekes about a sukkah gedola, that we call a machlekes about gezeira shem yibshech achashulchanai. So when all the dust settles, that is the dual machlekes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. So we can take a look at the end of the first one. We'd skip all the back and forth to get to that point. I'm going to take you to that point immediately. So the Gemara says it's four lines from the bottom. The last word in the line, the first amount comes. La'olam b'tarti pligi. The Gemara says, in reality, Beis Shammai Beis Hillel are actually arguing about both cases. There are two issues that they're arguing about. Pligi b'sukkah ketana, or pligi b'sukkah gedola. They're arguing about both. V'chasure mechzera, v'hochi ketari. And we have to just add a little bit to the Mishnah. The Mishnah doesn't say this. The Mishnah, the second paragraph of Sukkah, is very, very cryptic. So the Gemara just adds a little bit to the Mishnah and says, this is the correct version of the Mishnah. Misha Yeroshev Rubo Vesucha Veshuchan Vesucha Bayis Beisham Omim Lo Yotza Ubeisil Omim Yotza. If a person was his head and his body in the sukkah and his table is in the house, that part of the Mishnah isn't saying a word about the size of the sukkah. That's not the issue. The sukkah is a large sukkah, but he as a person chose to sit at the very edge of the sukkah. So Beshami says he's not Yotze, and Beisil says he is Yotze. Now notice the lashon of the Mishnah, of the quote-unquote Mishnah, of the amended Mishnah. The Mishnah does not speak about the chefts of the sukkah. The Mishnah doesn't say the sukkah is possible. The Mishnah speaks to the gavra, briska gemara. The Mishnah speaks to the gavra, lo yotza. You, Mr. Warat Yotza, you know why? Because you sat in the sukkah in a way that we're afraid you may come to lean out of the sukkah. So we declare you lo yotza. And Basil says, Mapitom, we don't accept that decree, we don't accept that gezeira. Yotza, you as a gavra, Warat Yotza. So, the Mishnah, period. End of discussion. Two dots. Now, next paragraph for the Mishnah. When if you have a sukkah that can only hold his body, it can't even fit a table in the first place. That's not the first half. That's the second half of the Mishnah. It's a new case. Here, there's a potential deficiency in the shear of the sukkah. So, Bishamai Paislin. Look at, notice the change in nuance. Here, Beshami Posel. Posel refers to the Cheftza, and Kasher refers to the Cheftza. So here we have a dual machlekes Beshami Besilo, but Chazal coined the phrase Sukkah Gedola and Sukkah Ktana. So in the case of Sukkah Gedola, we know exactly what the issue is. It's a Gezerah Shemi Yimshach, or no Gezerah. Do you accept that Gezerah or not accept the Gezerah? When it comes to a Sukkah Ktana, we know exactly what the issue is as well. Do you require that seventh tefach? Do you require a shulchan at the table in the sukkah or not? The only thing that is still unclear from the Gemara is that there are two different machloks. I said the bad word different. There are two machloks between Bishah and Bishilo. What I want to know is a really basic question. Namely, are these two machloks dependent upon one another? Is it really one and the same? There's some link between the two? Or it just happens to be arbitrary, just coincidentally, there are two issues of Bishah and Bishilo arguing about. They both have to do with sukkahs. They both are related to tables. Because in one place, the seventh tefach is needed for the table. In the other machlokas, the table has to be in the sukkah. It's just pure coincidence that Bishah B'Sil happened to be fighting it out about tables and sukkahs. But conceptually, the two issues are different. One's in the gavra, and one's in the chetzos, briska Torah. They're two different sugyas. So what I really want to know is when all the dust settles, I know it's one mishnah, but I want to know conceptually, lumdus-wise, is this one sugya, or is it two sugyas? You know, they say that people think that Reb Chaim took every sugya, and he said, it's two dinim. Sometimes you have to take two dinim and turn it into one din. It's actually, you have to be careful. It's not just a game, one din, two dinim. You have to make sure you understand conceptually, are there really two different sugyas flying around here, or is this ultimately one sugya? So that's really the root of the issue. That is the nakuda of the entire sugya. So comes the...
assuming that it's always like a contiguous thing. Maybe it's really talking about you're eating here, but all your food on your table's inside. And because there it is, you're going to go up to your table, and you're going to eat, and you're not going to anywhere near your sukkah.
Well,
it's not that they're next to each other, and you're going to lean over. It's that you shouldn't have a situation where you're shulchan betoch beiso, and you're going to eat there, and you're going to have your food there, you may come and eat there, and your sukkah is always...
See, I think because Ira Witelski is living in a world of buffets, of smorgasbords, you know. Yeah, b'mechilas covered your rabbit said, I don't know whether that was exactly what was the style of eating was in the olden days. I think people like to sit down and they brought the food to the person. Okay.
I agree, but maybe...
Okay. New gezeira. You can't have a shmonger. No buffets outside the sukkah. Okay. New chumrah. Okay. All right. Usually you scream at me when I give you chumras. I'm going to scream at you for giving you chumras. So comes the riff of the second amendment kaimis and says, V'yasikna debetarte pligi. Says the riff, the conclusion of the gemara is that there are two issues that they're arguing about. Pligi besukkah gedola or pligi besukkah ketana. The Riff is just quoting the Gemara verbatim. V'achikitani, Mishay Rosh Avru B'sukkah, V'shachan B'sukkah Bayis, B'shachan B'lo Yatza, B'shachan B'yatza, B'shachan B'chzakas, Kei Rosh Avru B'shachan, B'shachan B'posit, B'chshirin. So far the Riff hasn't said anything yet, he just quoted the Gemara. But now, in the next line, the Riff says everything. V'halacha kebe shamay b'travayu. Says the Riff, now the Riff's job is to paskin the halacha. He says, we follow b'shamay in both of these cases. Why? Now that's a strange thing. We never follow Beshamay. Well, we learned the sugya at the beginning, the first of the Rambam Kamos, that when it comes to the size of the sukkah, remember what Rav Shmuel Ba Yitzchak told us, it has to be Machzekas Roshu B'Shulchanu. So even though it was strange, and even Rabbi Abba couldn't understand it, but the conclusion of the Gemara was clear that when it comes to the seven tvachim of the sukkah, for sure we follow Bishamai. That's not negotiable anymore. So comes the riff and says, well, since we follow Bishamai vis-a-vis a sukkah ketana, says the riff, halakha Bishamai b'travayu, we follow Bishamai in both cases. Why? The chatayim and yinu. Because it's the same reason. Says the riff in one fell swoop that we paskin l'alacha like Bishamai both in Sukkah Ketana and Sukkah Gedola, even though there is no Gemara anywhere in Masechah Sukkah that paskins like Bishamai in a Sukkah Gedola. But says the riff, I don't need the Gemara to tell to me. I just put the pieces, it's connected the dots. If Bishamai still arguing about both cases, and both cases are obviously dependent one upon the other, if we follow Bishamai in one, then we must follow Bishamai in the other. What in the world did the riff mean? That the two issues are dependent one upon the other. Here I just gave you a whole shtickle Torah, one's a gaf, one's a cheftor. What do you mean? The riff just took the two distinct sugyas, different sugyas, and combined them into one. What's beyond the riff? So it is clear from the riff that the riff understood why is it that Bishamai needs that seventh tefach. So we said, oh, we need that for the shulchan. And why is that so important? Because Bishamai could not conceive of a person having a 6x6 tefach sukkah. Why? Because if you have a 6x6 sukkah, where is your food going to be, Ari? It's going to be, by definition, outside of the sukkah. There's no room for the table in the sukkah. So every 6x6 sukkah, by default, will have a table outside. And having a table outside, oh, that's a problem, because gzeirah shem yibshachach shulchanai. So it comes out, says the Rif, that the whole reason for Bishamai's seventh tefach in the first place was because they were afraid mid the rabbanon shem yibshachach shulchanai. You may come to lean outside of your sukkah. And Beisila l'shitasam, Beisila who didn't accept that gzeirah by a sukkah gedola, don't require that seventh tefach by a sukkah ketana. So in one fell swoop, what the Rif just told us is, I will tell you exactly what the mystery of that seventh tefach is. What's the secret of that tefach? That tefach is necessary, according to Bishamai, to avoid violating the gezeira, shabayim shachach ha-shulchanai. Beisila, who don't accept that gezeira by sukkah gedola, never required it by sukkah ketana either.
So a 10 amah sukkah, according to the Rif, would be possible?
A 10 amah sukkah?
Yeah, a big sukkah. Right?
If you're sitting at the edge.
Yeah, you're sitting at the edge.
That's it. I wouldn't use the words the sukkah's puzzle. I would say you are not yotze. If it's 6 tvacha by 6 tvacha, where it's impossible to have a shulchan there, then we have to say puzzle. But if it's a 10 amah by 10 amah and you chose to sit at the very end, yes, I would say you are not yotze. Correct.
Right. Maybe they're right, so the roof
would be. Whoa. 6x6 is. Oh, Eyud said the.
It's not puzzle.
You're right. Eyud said the right word. Eyud said, wait a second. Something just came out from this riff. A tremendous kula, a leniency just emanated from this riff. We started out our sugya today by saying, a sukkah's got to be 7 tvachim by 7 tvachim. Kach nemra halacha, that's the din. Comes the riff, and in effect just told us, that's the din, but it's not the din deraisa. With deraisa, the sukkah has to be 6x6. The requirement of that 7 tvach is only the amid the rabbanon to make sure that you don't violate the otherwise gezeira the rabbanon. So it comes out, according to the riff, a tremendous chiddush, that is the riff a machmer or is he a mekel? Depends which angle you're asking from. He's a big machmer to say, we follow Bishamai. And he's a big machmer to say, we follow Bishamai, not only by sukkah ketana, even by sukkah gedola. But he turns around to being a big mekel by saying, that which we follow Bishamai, that a sukkah must be 7 tefachim, you should just know that 7 tefach is on a midderabonim. Midderaisa, it's a diras aroi with 6 tefachim, shal maestro. So that's the way the riff learned the sukkah. So at least we have one rishon on record who's telling us, answering our fundamental question. We learned the sukkah, we wanted to know, is this two sugyas? Is this one sugya? So the answer is, according to the Rif, it's one sugya. Min haTorah, everything is 6 tefachim. Min the Rabbanon, you need a 7 tefach to avoid gzeirah shem mishachach
ha-shulchanai. So, I'm sorry, you learned that just because of the fact he said chatayim inu?
That's right. And he paskin halacha based on that. Right, paskin halacha based on the chatayim inu. Right, that's right. So comes the Baal HaMor, skip down to the fourth of the Ramah Kumas. Comes the Baal HaMor, Masechet Sukkah, Gimel Min Aleph. It's the third line into the Baal HaMor. He says, I think they printed the wrong line of the Baal HaMor. One second. I think we have the wrong one here. It is the wrong Baal HaMor. You printed the wrong one. Let's see if they printed it right somewhere else. it's in the same piece of the Malmo. It's the wrong lines. Okay, I'm going to have to say about that. All right? A little touch about that for the morning. Sorry about that. So comes the... One second. Maybe the Ramban calls it. Ramban may have it here on 7. So big the Ramban. It is, yeah, it's probably in here somewhere. It's another part of Balamor. Okay, well, we'll be fast. I'll talk about that. Okay? Comes to Balamor, and we could probably figure out what the Balamor is going to say. We know he's going to argue with the Rif, as he always does, and he's going to argue with the fundamental principle of the Rif. The Rif's Yesoda, Yesodas, and the Sugi is, as Israel said correctly, Techat Taimaninu. Those three words. It's one issue, says the Balamor, not correct. Trei Taimaninu. They're two different Sugi's. Sukkah Ketana is one issue, and Sukkah Gedola is a second issue. How are they different? All the difference in the world. Says the Balamor, the Machlokes B'Shav Beis about whether you need the seventh Tefach has nothing to do with a Gezeira, the Rabbanon, you're going to lean out of the Tefach. It's a Machlokes in Hilchos Sukkah. It's a Machlokes in Hilchos Cheftz of the Sukkah. What is the Shiur of the Sukkah? Is the Shiur of the Sukkah six Tefachim, or is the Shiur of the Sukkah seven Tefachim? That machloikas predates the machloikas about Gezeira Shem Yimshach HaShulchanoi. Gezeira Shem Yimshach HaShulchanoi is a machloikas on the level of the Rabbanon. Are we concerned? The fellow's going to lean out. He's not going to lean out. Basil wasn't concerned. Bishabi was concerned. That has nothing to do with the seventh Tefach. The seventh Tefach is necessary for a much more serious reason. It's necessary on the level of the Araisa for the following reason. That the Balmor never tells us. We're going to have to fill in the gaps in that probably next week. But says the Balmor, don't mix up the two sugyas. Don't make the two sugyas into one. They're two distinct sugyas. And therefore, the Balamor says, in the world of Psak, once we separate between the two sugyas, just because we're forced to paskel like Bishamay in one, doesn't mean we're compelled to follow Bishamay in the other. And therefore, the Balamor paskens la'alocha. The seventh tefach is chayk v'layav, or it's absolutely necessary. That seventh tefach is necessary min haTorah. But concerning the machlekes b'shav b'sil, of a fellow sitting in a 100 amma by 100 amma sukkah, and he's sitting at the edge, are we afraid shemayim shachach shulchano? It's a machlekes b'shav b'sil. How do we follow? We follow b'sil. Why should you think you follow b'shav? Since when do we follow b'shav? We only follow b'shav when the Gemara says it explicitly. Says the Balamor, the Gemara never said it explicitly. The Gemara only said we follow b'shav vis-a-vis the seventh tefach. But since we all know the riff is not correct, it's not chat time, it's straight timing. Therefore, we fall back and we follow b'sil. Concerning the Gezeira Shemim Shachach Shulchanai. So when all the dust settles, the Rif and the Balamor have a major machlokes, how to learn Pshat in that sugya. According to the Rif, it's Chad Taima. According to the Balamor, it's Trey Taimi. Nafkamina between the two, two nafkaminas. Number one, according to the Rif, we're forced to follow Beshabai across the board. According to Balamor, we are not forced to follow Beshabai Sukkah Gedola. Nafkamina number two is that seventh Tefach Deraisa Derabonon. According to the Rif, it's only midrabanan. According to the Balamor, it's required in the love of the Raisa.
According to Balamor, is the machlokes ben Beisham Yisrael and Sukkah Ketana is whether six by six Beisrael holds a six by six can hold Shulchanah?
Oh no. Apparently Beisham insists on a Shulchan, and Beisrael apparently doesn't require a Shulchan to be there for some love of the Raisa. That's the mystery question now. So what is the need of that seventh Tevach Midarai? So we started out the sugi by saying our goal today was to discover the need for that mysterious seventh Tevach. So according to the Rif, we found it. It's part of the Gezeira Shemim Shachar Shulchanai. According to Balamor, it's still a mystery. Why do you need that seventh Tevach for?
So come. Is it initial need or just?
No. You need it on a level of Midarai. So without it, you're in trouble.
Right, but it's not an issue of need. Once it becomes a
deraisa,
it's just a shear.
No. Where did Chazal figure it out from? The shear of 6x6 was an expression of being a dira. So if dira means 6x6, what's the meaning of the seventh tefach? What's the goal of the love of deraisa? Where did it come from? So comes the rod of the sixth of the Mamakamas and finally solves the mystery for us within the world view of the Balamor. Says the rod, sixth of the Mamakamas. Even though we follow the view of the Rabbanan, that Sukkah is Diras Arai, so we would never ever say, that's Rabbi Nasi speaking, that has nothing to do with us. Even though we follow Diras Arai, we still follow Beishamai in needing the seventh Tefach. I'm already getting nervous from the Ran, because the Ran is already beginning to tell us where that seventh tefach is related to. That seventh tefach has something to do with the Diras Keva. It smacks of Diras Keva a little bit. You need something more. Six tefachim sounds like that's the bare bone, that's the minimum, that's Beis Hillel. And now you need the seventh tefach for Diras Keva. But the Ran is already concerned. He already has to give us a disclaimer, but we don't follow Diras Keva. So we who don't follow Diras Keva, why do we need that seventh tefach? Says the Ran, Tiktsas Kviyusa Boinon. He says, no, don't think that we deny Keva like Gamre. We don't go as far as Rabbi Nasi's Keva, but we need a little bit of Keva. And what does a little bit of Keva mean? If not for that seventh Tefach, then that's not even a Dira, that's not a Kevin B'mashahu. So the Ran just created for us a third category. We've been learning Sukkah for 3 months already. We've been talking about since day one. It's a Sukkah Diras Keva, Sukkah Diras Aroi. The Ran just introduced for us a third category on a level of the Araisa called a Keva Bebiktas. That you need some degree of Keva, and it's that new requirement, Minat Torah, that was just the Schadish for us by the Ran. It's that new requirement that is responsible for that third, for that seventh Tefach, on a level of the Araisa, again, according to the worldview of the Balamor. And says the Ran, how do I know what I know to be true? The Ilo, because if not, if you're going to tell me you can get away without a seventh tefach, diras ruchahi. What you have in front of you is a rotten, horrible, despicable way of living. You're living in a place without a place to put down your food, without a table, without a seventh tefach. That's called the diras rucha. And the diras rucha is psula, even according to us who don't have the higher standards of diras keva.
Is that
so,
a fourth category?
That's it's I call it 3/AB. I'm not sure what it is. The Ran is just telling you that the definition of what's called Ktas Kviyusa and Dira Srucha somehow are opposites of one another. So I can't say that we succeeded in solving the mystery. I think we just made the mystery a little bit thicker. That means we want to know what is the meaning of that seventh tefach. So according to the Riff, it was a sitch. According to the Riff, it was easy. It's a Dirabonim, leave me alone. It's part of the Gzeira, no problem. But according to the Balamor and the Ran, it's not a Dirabonim. It's very much a Diraisa. And the category is this new category called Dira Srucha, which we don't want, Ktas Kviyusa that we do want, but obviously we have a lot of work to do on this. What exactly does this mean? We have to fine-tune this hopefully a little bit. So next week we'll continue with the dimensions of Diras Rucha, and then try to understand how this plays out in terms of the rest of the city going back to Machoz Mishan.